from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't know what we said that had the Circus Sports Illinois hotline light up. Dan Bernstein.
Oh, boy.
I was calling Shane. He told me to call him on this number. I'm not trying to go on the air.
Oh, well, you're on the air. What happened?
I caught a fish for Shane.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Yeah. Hall of Fame fisherman, both freshwater and saltwater.
Really?
He's in two different fishing halls of fame. Wow.
Do I go get it?
Where have you been? Get your ass down here.
Should I go? Should I go get a divvy bike and go get the fish from him?
I'm right in front of Buckingham Fountain.
And what is special about this fish?
Shane wanted to cook up a freshwater drum. If he's got to get here, and we probably have to gut it and ice it.
Ice.
So this is Shane's way of asking permission to leave.
Yes. I'm going to come back and finish the podcast, but can I go get the fish?
Yeah, go get the fish.
All right, I'm going to go get
it. Hi, everyone. I just want to reach out and let you know that I just realized that I'm not going to be able to continue.
How big is it, Dan, so to speak?
I think it's probably 4 or 5 pounds.
We got weights and fish.
There we go.
There it is.
All right.
I'm coming.
Hawk leaves a booth to go check on Todd Frazier. Shane leaves a booth to go get a fish from Dan Bernstein.
Yeah.
When we find out.
I'm going downstairs. You take over, okay? All right. I just saw him.
And?
It's a good use of your time.
Absolutely.
All right. This is very exciting.
I will be back here before you
That's
guys.
That's great.
Shane Reardon trying to take some liberties.
You come back with Dan on ice, that's fine.
I saw that show. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, is this the penguin?
Is it
Bernstein? I call you the penguin because I saw you in person and you look like Danny DeVito.
I was wearing a tuxedo probably.
Yeah, did they throw fish at you?
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tim. Here we go. Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
And I've got to say, while I was skeptical that we would ever see Shane again, given that he left and was very much not back by the time we got off the air, the podcast was uploaded, and the fish tacos were delicious.
Yeah, they were really good. They were really good. I'm glad. This is a bit that Dan and I have been working on for quite a while, and he finally caught one. He caught one last week, but I was off, so I couldn't get over there to get it. But I told him, if you catch a drum, which you might know as like a grunt or a sheep's head or something like that in the Midwest, I'm going to come and get it. We're going to fillet it. We're going to gut it. We're going to eat it on the show. We did that. It was awesome. It all came together. Just standard like Mexican taco with fish, just cilantro, red onion, lime, hot sauce. I took our guy, who I know, Danny, you've got shirts from, the Salsa King of Chicago.
Yeah.
Took his salsa, blended it with some crema. Oh. No, it's not Peter Hansen.
Though. No. Okay.
Salsa King of Chicago. I blended his stuff with some crema, his hot salsa. Get it at Julio Mariano's. And it just brought it all together, brought a little heat aspect. And
nice.
I think they were nice. I think
they were.
The tacos were nice.
They were nice. And it had a kick.
It's hot.
Yeah.
I mean, he said, do you want hot or mild? I said, Salsa King of Chicago, give me the hot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why I cut it with the crema, and it was still very hot.
I had the mild when he came out to Harry Carey's, but yeah. I think I like the hot one better.
Yeah.
As you were outside,
the hot's incredible.
Guzzling water out of the water fountain.
I just wasn't expecting it. It took a huge bite. I was like, oh, damn. That took a real kick.
It was hot, but it's a good fish. The drum's a good fish, and I hope he catches more, and I hope we can do it again.
That's
but
cool, man.
It's so much like, I love food sustainability and like knowing where your food's coming from. So when you can go start to finish, like, hey, I saw Dan catch this fish out of the water.
That's pretty cool.
And then I cleaned it myself. It's great.
Yeah.
No middleman.
That was excellent.
You just do a little, you open up a fun little business, you and Dan. Your fish and fry
business.
We've got a
we should.
We've got a food truck idea for Shane.
Oh yeah?
Wani's in for $50K.
Really?
I don't know if Wani said 50. I think Wani said 10.
It's going up. No, a listener said 10. I think Wani's in for 50.
Tanny's guy Paul corrects at 10. Paul's in for 10. I don't think Wani would ever give me $50,000.
I think Wani's in for 50.
That's all I would need. I wouldn't even need listener Paul.
That's what I'm saying. But it's a little something extra for you. Keep a little for incidentals.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think Wani's in for 50, okay. He said.
Very cool.
I was going to hold him to that.
Thanks,
one.
Wani. Appreciate you and Jan so much.
Yeah, I'm going to put that out there.
Mazel is...
And if he's got a 50 for me, you know, just throw me a 50K, throw his Tanny, whatever.
Yeah, Bears.
It'll be fine. Yeah, Bears. Yeah,
everybody. Exactly. We're all rich with the Bears now, right?
Yeah. Bears. Certainly not with the Cubs, dude. This series that gets underway tonight in Milwaukee, there's the Craig Council return. We'll hear some from Carter Hawkins here in a little bit. You said you want to talk about PCA. We can certainly do that. They are in last place, and we are past the halfway point of the season. They are 10.5 games out, and while I do not expect this to happen in any way, it feels like one of the last hopes, because last year it was that 8-game winning streak and the Talkman catch and the Morel homer and that stretch of baseball before the deadline. So obviously the season is not over if they lose this series, but it will feel like the division is over. That is what I think is on the line in this series. Like, if you lose the series to the Brewers and you fall to 11.5 games out of first place, and they continually get the upper hand with you. They took 3 of 4 from you.
Yeah, I was going to say
the last time that you played them, you got to them for 2 of 3 back at the beginning of May. But this series must win feels ridiculous when it is this early in the season, and it technically isn't because there is more time left and all of that. But it feels like one of the last chances to turn this thing around. Like, you sweep the Brewers, there will be a little bit of jolt of life in the team, in the city, in the discussion around this team. If you can go to Milwaukee and sweep them, lose the series, it's going to feel insurmountable for the division.
I agree with you. And honestly, I was thinking about this. That series where the Cubs lost 3 out of 4 to the Brewers there, that's what set this sort of legitimate trail for Milwaukee, where at the end of that series I was like, okay, that team is actually for real, at the exact time that a lot of us were wondering, when's this team going to start to fail? Because they weren't supposed to be one of those teams that was good. Unfortunately, there is a decent amount of legitimacy to the Milwaukee Brewers, and they've got some legitimate Cubs killers on their team as well. So yeah, I agree with you. I also think, like, the way that I've been watching these Cubs games, each and every one of them has that big feel to it. And I get it, like a team like San Francisco, different division and all of that. But just day to day, one of these days, they have to start putting a streak together. So every day is a stressful watch for the Cubs, and oftentimes they are not able to stack wins together. They get one yesterday, but even that took a very high stress level to get there.
Yeah, you're right. There's desperation attached to all of these games. It's high stress. But playing this team, it's the first place team in your division. They're your biggest rival. You stole their manager from them. Like, these games do feel bigger to me. Do they not to you?
Oh, no, absolutely. Oh, okay. 100%.
All right.
I mean, I know that we can make this feel better by looking at the wild card race and all that, but the first line that I look at always still is the division. Where is it? 10.5? 11?
Yeah, 10. You're 11 back in the loss column, 10.5 in the standings, because you haven't played the same number of games.
That's absolutely where I'm still looking, because I look at that to evaluate the team as a whole. How are you relative to what is not a great division? And then you could use that to apply to what they do or don't do at the trade deadline. If this team's 11 games out in this division, they're not going to do anything. So if you can't show that you can compete with Milwaukee, then I'm all for, you know, I'm not talking about big breakdown at the trade deadline, but certainly not buying anything. That's for sure.
Well, that's the thing, right? The idea that I don't like that all baseball conversation is kind of funneled through the trade deadline, because I think it colors how we talk about it, and it colors how we hear from Carter and Jed and all that. we keep asking them about trades when trades aren't going to happen. And it's like there's also like real issues to diagnose on the current team. But to your point, yeah, they're four out of the wild card right now. All right, fine. You're in it. There's also only two teams in the National League worse than you.
Right.
Yeah, you know, like, so
yes, okay, you're so last place team.
You're better than Miami, you're better than Colorado. Congratulations. Those teams are 29-52 and 27-53.
Right.
Among every other team that isn't objectively terrible, you're the worst of them. Reds, Nationals, Giants, D-backs, Pirates, Mets. None of them would be in the playoffs if it started tomorrow. Cubs are behind all of them. So, yeah, they're four out, but they're also seven teams out of the wild card. They would not even consider a bye if the standings were like this. Like, if they were six games under 500, exactly. If they were six games under 500 and four games out of the wild card, but they'd have to leapfrog seven teams in August and September. Hell no, they shouldn't buy in that scenario.
And maybe I'm part of the, you know, cocky Cubs fans or greed is good. You set this new precedent. Like, getting into the playoffs that way with this team obviously would take a ton to begin with, a pretty big turnaround. But I'm not about just getting there anymore. You got to show me the team that can win playoff games or win playoff series. And this team, this assembled unit, is not a team that I think could do any kind of damage in the postseason.
Yeah, it is a not even close, man. Like you said, who's the core of the team?
Right. Yes.
It's an interesting way of talking about it, right? So let's do that exercise.
Okay.
Real quick.
Pitchers.
Are you talking about not for this year, but you're saying like the next 3 to 5 years of the Cubs?
What I was thinking is that we're seeing what we thought was a core of players on this team, and now it's beginning to shift. So, you know, you would have thought that Ian Happ was going to be part of this core. Dansby Swanson, who very well still could be part of it. I don't know if Christopher Morel is. I know that Justin Steele is part of it. I mean, pitchers are definitely a special category, but it does feel like that's beginning to change. Cody Bellinger certainly isn't going to be part of it. Is somebody like Michael Busch part of your core? Suzuki, is he? That's the name. Is somebody like Suzuki, who was supposed to be part of the next core of the Cubs, is he still even part of this core? Because he was a slam dunk core member for the Cubs going forward. And now I don't know that he is. I don't know if any of those guys are. So let's do it. Like
So Justin Steele,
okay,
is a part of your core.
Shota?
Yeah.
At 30 that? Yeah.
Yeah, until proven otherwise.
Okay, so Shota. And Justin Steele, they're your pitchers.
Yep.
Are we leaving anybody out of your core starting pitchers? Because not Assad, as he hasn't done it long enough, right?
He's been pretty damn good, but he's now hurt. He's now hurt.
He is hurt, and we don't know. Like, it hasn't been enough really greatness out of Assad yet to call him part of your core.
Yeah, well, I mean, but he's done more than Shota. Because Assad was good second half of last year, and he's been as good this year.
On the overall.
You didn't pay him as much.
But the fact that we're debating it, I don't know. Okay, we could throw him in there if you'd like.
Well, I mean, listen, or we could say that neither.
Steele for sure, Shota for sure.
Okay. I think that Assad probably deserves... Well, because, like, listen, I think Dansby for sure. Whether you like it or not...
Seven-year deal.
Whether you like it or not, you signed him to a $177 million deal. There's 5.5 years left of it.
Okay, put him down.
And he's unquestionably a leader of the team.
Okay, so let's just...
So you might not like every guy in your core, but Dansby is... He has to be part
of it. Fair enough. Okay, so Swanson is part of the core. Now I'm thinking about the rest of the... Nico? Is he part of the core? Because he was definitely a guy... To me, again, was a slam dunk part of the core for the Cubs. I don't know if he is going forward unless they could find home runs elsewhere.
So he's obviously playing poorly. He's young. He signed an extension.
Yes.
He's a very good defensive player up the middle. I can't see them trading him. Like, I don't think that they would sacrifice up the middle defense to for what power hitting second baseman. Mm-hmm. Like if you told me that they could get in your prime Robinson Cano, I'd be there. But like,
and they obviously like him a lot. Okay, let's put him part of the core.
I think he is part of it. Again, you don't have to love it, but I think
that's cool. No, I think you're right. I think you're right. So Swanson and Horner are definitely part of the core. First base is up in the air, right? I mean,
Bush has been pretty good. They traded a big pitching prospect for him, but
who knows what he turns into? Maybe there's more development to him. Maybe there's another level, and he is 26, 27.
Yeah, like would I bet on Michael Bush being on the Cubs 3 years from now?
Probs not.
Probs not?
Yeah.
See, I would say probs yes.
Oh, okay. 3 years from right. See, I don't look at him as part of the core of the Cubs. Like, uh-oh. I just don't.
I don't know that we're defining this exactly. Like, if the exercise is who will be a Cub in 2027.
Yeah. You still think Bush would be their premier first baseman? That you can't do better than Michael Bush?
No, I'm not saying that you can't do better than Michael Bush, but, like, is he likely to be on the Cubs
just
in 3 years?
On the Cubs, maybe, but I don't like the idea of him playing the biggest, unless there's more development there and there's something that I'm missing. And yes, Michael Bush has been fine. I just think, like, back to our earlier conversation, it is the Cubs. They can do better with the money that they have. So I just don't know, looking in the future, if he's part of the core. I'm with you on Swanson and Horner. I'm skeptical about Bush just because there might be some more sure things that hit the ball out of the park.
Michael Bush leads qualifying Cubs in OPS right now at 795. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's not a good core, man. Like, because Morel, I want to believe that he is, but they haven't paid him, and he obviously could be traded at a moment's notice if they think that the defense isn't sustainable and someone wants to buy in on that. He could be traded because he's not expensive.
Yeah.
So I hope that he's a part of the core because it feels like there's an offensive breakout coming for him, and he's been bad defensively, but he's shown the ability with the crazy arm strength to approach serviceable. Like I think that he's got a chance to be average at third base.
And that
a chance.
And that yeah.
Not
yeah.
Not now. It doesn't look like he's gonna
be there
soon.
Now.
No, he's definitely not there now.
Right. And this is all about the offensive room. Can we make this guy into a service? It was like Kyle Schwarber. Can we just make him into a serviceable left fielder? And this guy is going to be absolutely fine there. But that does bring me to Pete Crow Armstrong. And just like trying to figure out what the Cubs' core is, like he could be part of it as well. But I am, Danny, I'm having trouble figuring out what PCA is. I mean, we know some of what he is. We know that he can flat out fly. But is he, when he is fully there, a made man in Major League Baseball, if he gets there, what is he? Is there slug there? Is there more contact there? Or is this a guy who just does really exciting things defensively and is the second fastest guy in Major League Baseball as he has been clocked so far this year? I can't, because I had somebody call me and say, oh, you got to lead this guy off. And I was like, I'm not against that idea. I mean, but I don't know what he is. That what he is? Is he really an eight hitter? Is he a guy who could hit fifth or sixth in the lineup? Is there more to him than what I'm seeing? And I am confused on PCA right now.
I am too, obviously. Having a couple of stand-up triples shows what, you know, in the last 10 days or so. It's like, okay, if he drives the ball into the gap, he can do crazy things, right?
Yeah.
He's got a couple of stand-up triples. He scored from first on a single. Like, there's his defense and his speed are elite traits.
Great arm, too. Yeah, which is part of the defense.
Part of the defense, right?
Yeah.
But so if he hits, he's an all-star. If he doesn't hit, he's a gold glover at a premium position.
So what is he, Ichiro? Like, at his best? Guy who,
I don't know about it.
Guy who didn't hit home runs but could turn just about any infield hit into a base hit. And I get it, he kind of was able to cheat from the left side of the
plate. Well, and he also had like incredible bat to ball, right? Like he didn't strike out a lot. PCA's got big swings and is striking out a lot.
But I guess, and you're right, I'm going overboard with the comp, but that's me trying to figure out What is he supposed to be? What's the blueprint for PCA? What are the Cubs thinking? And I don't know what they're thinking. Leadoff hitter? Like, is that the thing? Is that where if he does make more contact and strike out less, is that where they want him? I cannot figure it out. And honestly, it feels like with the way the Cubs have used him this year, they're a little confused too, because they put him back down in the minors for a while and he got hot and made his way back. He didn't begin the season with the team either, did he? No, he did not.
No.
So, and because of injuries, he came up early. So I think that they are still trying to figure this out and clearly still trying to develop this player.
Well, which is how it works for a young player. Like I still think that Pete Crow Armstrong is going to be a very good player. It's just a question of how the bat, right? The bat is the variable, but he's going to be a 10-year big leaguer. Speaks and I talked about this a while ago. Like, they sacrificed defense at some positions to get offense, and then those players are not giving you offense. So you've sacrificed defense, like, right? Like, Saya hasn't produced like you're supposed to. He's okay and right, not great. Left field is a premium offensive position. Hap is not giving you premium offensive production. Third base is a premium offensive position. Morrell's been fine. Like, he has not been good. He has not been great. And he's been horrible defensively. Bush is, like, rounding. He's, like, been very, very streaky, young player, whatever. But, like, if the corners are your first base, third base, left field, right field, if that's your run-producing offensive thump, none of those guys are having what you would say are good overachieving seasons. Bush for a rookie is fine. 790 OPS. That's
for a rookie. Amen.
A streaky. That's a nine homer. That is a fine, good, promising rookie season.
And a good move by Jed Hoyer. That was a good move.
Yeah. Yes. But none of the Bellinger's not giving you slug. PCA's not giving you slug. Nico's not giving you slug. Dansby's not giving you slug. They're underachieving defensively up the middle. They're underachieving at those other positions offensively, and some of them defensively.
Yeah.
It's a recipe for a real bad team, man.
Right, right. And then in the meantime, that you are allowing PCA to be a guy who plays great defense but doesn't hit the ball over the wall. You mentioned the triples that he had. And I guess I am with PCA. I don't want him to be Albert Elmora, and that was the kind of fear comp that everybody talked about when he was in the minors, even because he did have the defensive part down, and then he did start to finally hit at the AAA level. But this was a lot of the same stuff with Albert. When Albert Elmora Jr. came to the Cubs, talked about what a great guy he was, what a great leader he was, what a terrific defensive player he was, but in the end, he didn't hit, and that's why he was not ultimately part of the core of the Cubs either.
You're right. I mean, PCA, I do think, is a much faster and better defensive player.
Way faster.
Than Elmora. Yeah. Yes, but yes, him not hitting is why you can only have so many damn guys on your team that can't hit.
Right, and I love the idea of developing, and like I like watching PCA, but can you afford that opportunity cost of guy playing great defense but not hitting?
So we have a pair of giveaways to give away this hour, and there isn't much time left, so you don't have to listen that much longer to get a shot at it. Listen for a drop from the morning show to get Mully and Haw live show, Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage, Thursday, July 18th, 6 to 10 a.m., live studio audience, special guests in attendance. We got a pair of tickets for you to give away when you hear a drop from the morning show.
You can have a friend. Don't rub it in my face.
When you hear that, call the contest line at 312-540-0670. And then NASCAR is coming back to Chicago. The Chicago Street Race weekend is coming July 6th and 7th. Tickets and experiences, NASCARChicago.com, or call now for your chance to win a pair of general admission wristbands. They are good for Saturday, July 6th only. That's 312-540-0670. So NASCAR, Mully and Haw live. We'll hear a little bit more on the specifics of Cubs and Brewers from Carter Hawkins on the other side. Parkinson Spiegel with Grody on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Fans, they don't like him.
Afternoons on the Score.
Nah, we ain't taking that. We ain't taking that from the Brewers.
Yeah, this is where Cubs fans and John Schriffen fans come together. Not taking this from the Brewers. I've had to mute my tweets saying that the Cubs will just have a better year than Milwaukee, and I wasn't worried about it. Because Brewers fans are just all up in my life.
Oh, I bet they
are. Yeah, they're not really happy about how that's going.
I'm looking at a tweet right now from Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune to what we were talking about earlier. He just shows a picture of the stadium from the dugout view, and it says, last stand, ? Just
right.
As we were talking about earlier.
You figure out a way to sweep the Brewers, and you get back to 7.5 back in the division. It feels manageable. It feels, okay, fine. They're the class of the division. We got games left with them. Things can happen. You get swept by them. You're 13.5 out. Goodbye on the division for sure, and overwhelmingly likely sellers at the trade deadline.
Right, because if you're depending on the wild card, you're overcomplicating your life. That's what's happening.
Yeah, and you would be 9 games under .500 if you got swept. So even if you were technically in it for the wild card, you'd be too many teams behind you. So feels like a big series is a big series. Thought it was an interesting moment when Carter Hawkins was asked about it with Dan Lawrence and Layla today, and people should check out the whole thing on the Odyssey app. It was an interesting conversation with the Cubs GM. But basically, hey, Carter, Brewers, still real good, even without Craig Counsell.
Yeah, I mean, I think any good system, remove one person from it, and that system remains good. It wouldn't be a good system otherwise. So I think that's what you're seeing in Milwaukee. They put a really good system together in terms of their acquisitions, in terms of their development, in terms of their optimization at the big league level. So it would be surprising, you know, if Counsell had left and then they had struggled as a result of that, because that would mean that it wasn't a good system, and it is. They made really good decisions over the years. They made really hard decisions over the years. You know, they've made decisions like trading Josh Hader in the middle of a playoff race because they knew that that was the way that they're going to optimize their team over a long period of time and win the most games. It's not easy, but it's certainly something that, if you can execute it, can help you win a lot of games. I think they also kind of look at what I was just talking about, the run is a run is a run, you know, where, yes, like they might have somebody that's offensively not helping them out, but you know, Bryce Turang is a great example of that last year that wasn't a great offensive player, but had a ton of defensive value, and they continue to give those at bats to him. And now he's improved a little bit offensively and continues to be a great defensive player. So just trying to make sure we're solving for wins. And I think they do a really good job of that and have been really competitive as a result.
It's maddening, man. Obviously managers get overrated. They get too much blame and oftentimes they get too much credit, but the Cubs double them up, basically, in spending. Double them up.
They've been a pest for a long time.
They've been the better organization.
Yeah.
Like it's not like a pest. It's not a fluke. It's not luck. I'd like to bet on the Cubs, and I had said that I would definitely bet on the Cubs winning more games with Counsell as their manager than the Brewers, but they're digging themselves a hell of a hole right now.
They are.
It's hard to make the argument right now.
He was right too about what he said. Like, you wouldn't expect Milwaukee to tumble, like break up just because Counsell leaves, because he obviously is responsible for having built some of that infrastructure there. But one of the most impressive parts is that Pat Murphy is doing this without two ace pitchers, one that left the team and Brandon Woodruff, who is on the team but has not pitched because he's on the DL, the injured list, the IL, I should say, for the rest of the year. So and the part that really stings too about what the Brewers are doing, they're doing all the things that the Cubs are not doing in terms of really strong base running.
Yeah, they play good baseball.
Yes!
They play good, likable baseball.
Right.
Well, dude, and a texter says this is starting to feel like Bears-Packers. Man, that's the thing. I love rivalries. I love sports hate. I love Cubs Sox hate. Proximity makes rivalry, right? Like Celtics Lakers as a rivalry is cool because it's historic and Bird and Magic, and they would meet in the finals. But it's not a great rivalry when they meet in the regular season. They meet in the finals. A rivalry is like you could drive there in 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like the score reaches into their territory. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the Wisconsin having Giannis and us having the Bulls. Them having Favre and Rodgers, and us having Todd Collins and Craig Krenzel.
Oh, did you leave out Jordan Love?
Yeah, intentionally, because Caleb's coming,
that's right, friend.
I'm not ready to concede that one quite yet, even though it's maddening.
He's going to take a big step down this year, Jordan Love. Forget what you saw last year.
Dude, so we did a podcast for First and Pod last night, and you know, it's hard to do every team in the offseason, you know, but that's our gimmick. We try to do every team every week on First and Pod. And so our gimmick for last night's episode was most likely postseason award winner from every team. So offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year, MVP, comeback player of the year, coach of the year, whatever the case may be. And so so Bears, most likely person to win a postseason award, Caleb Williams, rookie of the year, right? Some of them are pretty easy and straightforward. For the Packers, I said Jordan Love MVP.
You did.
Sucks. I think sucks is back on the table for Jordan Love. Yeah, for that take. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I would bet him to win MVP or picking him to win MVP. And I was debating between LaFleur for Coach of the Year or Jordan Love for MVP. But if LaFleur's in the running for Coach of the Year, it's probably because Love is having an awesome year.
Yeah.
And Love's got all of the narrative things that would point to it. And if he has a full season like his last 8 games were last year, he'll be a top 3 or 4 finisher for MVP. It's sickening.
What's really most sickening and maddening about it is that I'll just use Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields. Neither of those guys got, like, he took that big step forward last year. Jordan Love did. And we couldn't get either of those two quarterbacks to take the step. And Jordan Love took the step last year. We all saw it was in our face in week 17 in Green Bay. And I know that wasn't his greatest game of the year, but there it was. Jordan Love, a winner, taking the step forward when our quarterbacks were considered for MVP, right? I think it wasn't Trubisky. Weren't there odds on him going into his third year for MVP? And there certainly were.
Yeah, there were. Mark, thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There were. He was 200-1, and I bet it. And then he got bet all the way down to 50-1, and then it was 40-1, and then he was atrocious. And it was $110 up in flames.
I know where I heard it now, actually.
Yeah. It was a thing that was talked about fairly regularly on the score for a minute.
Right, but that's just...
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, sorry about that, Danny.
It's okay.
I don't feel like you listen to everything I do. Justin, you didn't even listen to our draft show the other night. I knew none of you guys would have listened to that show. I knew it!
That's true.
I knew it.
It's true. It was just such an uninteresting NBA draft, and I knew that we would recap it today with Chuck Swirsky's Zach Edey love and his hate of the word war room.
I knew it, man. Even Tanny didn't want to listen. It's so upsetting. It really is, the whole thing.
What do you want from us? You know, we're talking for 4 straight hours and immediately down in the car or our phones and public transit and just lock it right back into the score.
Support for old Grody, man.
For the NBA draft. It's like, hey, it's the worst NBA draft in 20 years. The Bulls are going nowhere and they have the 11th pick and we don't know any of these guys. Let's lock in.
I need a little personal time, Grody, you know?
Yeah.
Although I don't like that word, the terminology.
And you're going home listening to your hip-hop music.
No, man.
I don't know.
I'm listening to audiobooks, man.
Oh, yeah.
The Family Secrets case.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're not even joking.
Fun book, yeah.
That's great. Well,
I don't know what I was listening to. It just wasn't the draft show.
Yeah, I probably would have been sitting on my couch watching it on the TV, too, probably.
I didn't even do that.
Really?
I was driving. Yeah.
Oh, you're driving and you couldn't listen. And you love you wrote a book on the NBA.
Yeah, no, I know. I was driving listening to your show and then I got home and then I just kept going on living my life.
Voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky.
I know. God, I wasn't interested.
Man, I feel unsupported here.
I really love you.
You're the best. That's not going to. Don't give me that.
I do.
Do not pander to me, Danny Parkins.
I love you. You're the best.
I don't want to. Oh, yeah. Old Grody. You know what? Old Grody needs a little support sometimes.
I don't miss your Bears reports.
That's true. You're part of it. You have no choice. It is within the purview of your show.
Yeah, I do miss them when they're on the midday show.
Yeah. He makes a good point because they're on the show. So
I do.
You don't miss them for a good reason.
Everything you do on this show, I hear.
For the most part. There have been times when you haven't heard.
For the most part.
where either you or Matt wasn't paying attention to something I did. And that's another thing.
Sometimes you're not so locked in either.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a very ishy show and relationship and marriage reports.
Very ishy. That's why it works, Danny.
It's very ishy.
This is why it works.
Yeah, no, it's true. Well, it doesn't work. I think it works.
In its own little way.
How's your podcast coming? What is it, Daily Score?
Oh, the Daily Score is no longer on the air.
We're no longer doing the Daily Score. All right, good. How's Hit and Run? Is Hit and Run still on the air? Hit and Run's a good show.
Is it? Yeah,
right,
I think
good,
so.
Good.
Spiegel's probably off this week, though. That's good. The way it usually goes. I'm like, Ranji again? What's going on? Where's this guy?
All right, so you're done with the Daily Score.
I retired from the Daily Score.
Good for you.
No longer the Daily Score. So, yeah, no, it was
hey,
a big Gary,
how are things over at BBM?
How's pre and post on Cubs Radio?
Together, traffic and what? Yeah, pre and post, man. 3 years I did that, and then the Bears.
Bears.
Yeah.
Bears.
Yeah, what else?
How's the sideline gig?
Oh, I love Jason McKee.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
He's good. He's
Who doesn't?
He played the game. Yeah. What do they need me for?
Yeah. You know? All right. Well,
God, you had no idea about the Daily Score.
No idea about the Daily Score. That was genuine.
R.I.P. the Daily Score.
I still see Ray Diaz here until 6 o'clock every day. I figured he was working on your thing. He's just podcasting a show that ended 4 hours ago.
Yeah, no. It had a meeting recently and decided it would be no longer.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Sore subject. Should I stop asking follow-up questions?
No, it's really not that sore of a subject. It's just no longer. It's how's your podcast doing? You guys doing all right?
Oh, I'm getting rich off of it.
Yeah, I bet you were.
I have no resentment to it whatsoever.
That's why I don't have resentment. I wasn't getting rich off of mine.
I just love it. I just love every minute doing that podcast.
I know you do. The Daily Score is there. It is there for the taking.
Oh, if I want to add another Odyssey podcast to my profile.
They're 10 minutes a day. Anything you want, Danny. I mean.
I don't have enough fair time. I'll consider it.
Exactly.
So I'm taking 24 hours coming up in August.
Ask us anything. Next here
on
the Score.
If you can line up your questions,
if you got questions for us.
Anything. Yeah, we've stopped doing that too. So one last thing. Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
You can have a friend. Don't rub it in my face.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the Score.
If you like pina coladas, getting caught in the rain.
Great song.
Excellent work by Peter Pondering Hansen. Great singing. Kids got it all.
I was like, come on, man. When are you going to start acting like an intern? Start acting like an intern.
Yeah.
Can't sound that good. Man.
It's annoying. I don't like him, frankly.
But I did teach him something today.
Yeah?
And apparently a lot of people about what that song was about, Pina Colada. To a married couple.
Oh, not about the industry.
No, it wasn't
like an educational
thing. I've given up on trying to teach the industry, Danny. The industry, you know.
Yeah, we can't learn what you know.
Yeah, I'll tell you how it is out on the streets of this industry, okay? That's where I have my ear. So if you ever want to come talk about that, Hanson, you and I, we'll talk about the real stuff, okay? Not all this stuff here. This is all the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
You spend a day in my shoes, man, reporting. It's rough out there.
I'll come down from my ivory tower and have my many assistants book a meeting with you, and I'll tell you about my side of the industry. It's quite nice.
As many assistants. we'll take care of it.
It's quite nice.
As many jobs. Yeah. I'm here in the meantime
it's very plush.
My television job. Everything good on the TV, Danny?
Things are good on the TV side, Mark. Yeah. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I saw you up on the TV the other day.
Yep. Got some, not ready to say the next thing quite yet, next time you'll see me, but there's going to be a next time you're going to see me. It's going to be pretty cool.
I'm
looking forward to that.
Okay.
Probably make that announcement some point next week.
Oh, worthy of an announcement.
The promotion.
Something.
You say, hey, I'm going to be doing this here. Just let people know if they want to support. Probably got something for people to let them know about it next week. It'll be fun.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm very much looking forward to it, too. How do you feel about the Bronny James situation? How do you feel about it? Do you have any opinion? Do you care?
I think it is ridiculous, the whole thing.
You do?
Like, I think it's making a mockery, unfortunately, of Bronny James, unless he's serious in thinking that he can be an NBA player. I feel bad for him more than anything.
Interesting. So I think he definitely feels like he could be an NBA player.
Okay, so I don't know him well enough to know that.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying,
Just from what you've heard and seen, and
yeah, I mean, he says it's been his lifelong dream to play in the NBA. He went to the draft combine. He did well at the draft combine. Like I believe he wants to be an NBA player. I don't know that I believe that he would have been drafted if his last name wasn't James and the LeBron didn't want him to go to the Lakers. But we have seen that before. We have seen family members get drafted. Second-round picks have no real value. It is an undeniably cool story. I mean, first father and son duo to play together in NBA history. That is undeniably beautiful and cool and
sure,
all of that.
Sure.
And who wouldn't want to help out their kid? My only like pause on the whole thing is like, does Bronny want this? I assume he wants it. Like, he wants to go to the NBA. We know that. Rich Paul, his dad's best friend from childhood, is his agent. He seemingly orchestrated the whole thing. But at the combine, he was like, my dream isn't to play in the NBA with my dad. My dream is to play in the NBA. And then the second day of the draft comes, and the reports are that Rich Paul is calling teams saying, don't draft him, don't draft him, don't draft him. And he's like orchestrating him to the Lakers. It's been LeBron's stated dream to play with his son. And what father wouldn't want to play with their son? You know what I mean? Like, having the first time Owen threw me a ball, a tennis ball, I was like, I'm playing catch with my son. Yeah. Like, this is the most amazing thing in the world. I of course get it from LeBron's standpoint, but I'm not sure that Bronny wants it. And if he is just going to ride the bench for the Lakers, is this setting him up to succeed? Or is it just like living out his dad's fantasy?
Right.
I really, that's the part that I don't know the answer to.
Well, for different reasons, like that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel bad for him because I don't think he's an NBA player. Like, I think too, what you're asking about, if his name wasn't James, would he have been drafted? Absolutely not. No, like he may have gotten a sniff and a camp, and I think he would probably end up, like, if he was with the Bulls, he'd probably start the year on the Windy City Bulls. I don't think then, and that's what I wonder, like, is this just a one, let's have this happen so we could say it happened and do it? Or does LeBron James look at it as, yeah, this kid's going to, like, Bronny James is not going to just be a one-time thing. He's actually going to play with the Lakers and be a part of their team and play in 50 to 60 games this year. I mean, that's the part that gets crazy.
I don't know. I mean, listen, second-round picks don't make the team all the time, right? So, I mean, the Bulls sold a second-round pick to the Warriors for $3.5 million. Like second-round picks are, they're often flyers and draft and stash international prospects.
Absolutely.
And I don't know, man. If you're going to just be on the bench because your dad got you there, it feels like it sets him up to be a punchline in some ways.
Absolutely.
I hope he's ready for. I mean, Thanasis on the Bucks is a punchline. He's made fun of. Now he's in the NBA, and maybe he doesn't care because he's in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, would you rather be a punchline in the NBA or not be in the NBA? I guess be a punchline in the NBA.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting dynamic.
But there's no way, like, God, would a LeBron James allow him to become a punchline in the NBA? That's the thing. Like, is it really worth it for him to be able to say that he played with his son? And
I get it from LeBron's side, man. He gave him his name. He's LeBron James Jr. LeBron did not have a relationship with his own father. He said when he was born, I wanted him to be named after me to solidify the bond that I will have with him for his entire life, because I get it from LeBron's side. That one's not hard for me to understand. Like, nepotism is not a good thing, but then, right, of course, you would do anything for your kid. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Put yourself in that position.
I get it from LeBron's side, even if it's not maybe setting him up for the best chance at success. You're blinded to logic and reason sometimes when it comes to your own kid.
Yeah, but you agree that he would not have been drafted. And I know, again, second round, not a big deal.
I don't think so, but people say it's a historically bad draft. Tom Haberstroh had this thing that was like, sons of NBA players have a they overperform their draft expectation at this like a 28% higher rate or whatever because they grow up around the game and genetics and all that sort of thing. So like the guy had cardiac arrest at USC and survived.
He shrunk. He went from 6'4 to 6'1. I mean,
it is an incredible. I mean, LeBron is still playing in the NBA. He's still a top 15 player in the NBA, and he's playing with his kid.
It's an incredible
story.
And the fact of the matter is the NBA has to allow, because LeBron James, important still now, but how important is that guy going to continue to be even when he retires?
Yeah, he wants to own a team.
Absolutely. So going to let him do what he needs to do. Keep him happy.
Yeah, but man, there's going to be some awkward jokes.
Oh, absolutely. And like
it's going to be a weird experience.
And what are players going to be saying behind, like the stuff we're not even going to hear? Like, are they just going to be shaking their heads? Or do they look at it reasonably like you are, kind of, well, yeah, if that was I wish I could do the same thing with my son.
That's what Zach LaVine said on social media. He's like, I can't imagine the feeling, because he's a new father. He's like, I cannot imagine the feeling.
Right. So if you had the power to do that, you'd do it.
Of course. Yeah. It's not right. You maybe shouldn't. Maybe you're not really setting your kid up for success in the real world. But especially, and again, you could say it's selfish, it's a dream of LeBron.
Yeah. And it's LeBron freaking James.
It's LeBron freaking James, man.
It is. It'd be a hell of a story if he turned out to be good.
Yeah.
Like if Bronny turned out to be like just a good NBA player, that'd be pretty awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah,
it really would be. All right, we had Nicky Lopez on the show today. We had Connor O'Donnell and Kevin Lapka helping us out, as always. We appreciate them. We had Peter Hansen, our terrific intern. You're with us again next week, though, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Peter's ponderings continue. Shane Reardon, our executive producer and executive chef. Thank you, sir. Excellent fish tacos. Chris Tannehill making us sound better than we are each and every day. Grody, as always, thank you, sir.
Pleasure, man. Enjoy working with you, as always.
He is Mark Grody. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Hi, everyone. I just want to reach out and let you know that I just realized that I'm not going to be able to continue. I loved it, and I know you loved it. And I just wanted to let you know that I won't be returning. And I love the relationship we've been able to develop.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.